Jesus came to reveal the Father's love and to make it real. He came to reveal the Father's love and to make it real. And he does so in a powerful way in this parable. This parable, which is about the Father's love and these two lost sons, the older and the younger. These two boys grew up with one another. They were the two siblings. They grew up, and as brothers do, they probably spent most of their time with one another as they were growing up. And as younger siblings do, the younger brother looked up to his older one. He watched him. He saw what was within him. The younger brother looked up to him, and what did he see? What did he see when he looked to his older brother? He saw someone who was dutiful. He was obedient. He did everything the father asked him to do. But he also saw something else. He saw that within the older son, there was this heavy burden that he was carrying. That he was doing all the things he should do, but there was a joylessness. There was a lack of joy in everything he was doing. And he was doing it seemed, to win his father's approval. What he saw within his older brother was this slave spirit. You hear it come out even later on when he says to his father, "Listen, I've slaved for you all these years. I've slaved for you." So the younger brother, when he was looking up at his older brother, when he was watching him working on the farm, what he saw was that this is what it looks like to belong to the father. It looks like being a slave. You work hard, you're obedient, and you have to try and win the approval and maybe win your freedom. This is what he saw. And the younger brother, when his time came, when he came of age, having seen that, said, "I don't want any of that." He looked at that and he said, "I don't belong here." Now, was he seeing the father's true love reflected in his older brother? Nah, not at all. But what he saw in the older brother made him believe this lie that I don't belong here. I don't want to be here in my father's house. And so he asks for this part of the inheritance and he goes off to the distant country. He receives within him an orphan spirit. This spirit in which he doesn't feel that he belongs in the father's house. And he has to go now looking for his identity in other things, which is what happens in any heart that seeks after sin. I don't care what sin. It's looking for a place where you belong. It's looking in these areas of sin for your identity. Choose whatever you want. Someone who dives into materialism, pleasure, wealth, status. They're looking for their identity there. The world keeps shifting in terms of this identity stuff. Someone who's diving into the whole gender stuff, they're looking for their identity. Or whatever the trending cause is of the day, and that becomes their big thing. They're looking for their identity, where they belong. The tragedy of this, though, is your identity is not something that you can create or find. It can only be received. And it can only be received from the Father. You receive your identity from your parents, from your Father in heaven. Jesus, remembering the context of this, right? He's telling this parable because what's happening? The sinners, all these sinners who are searching for their identity. They're searching for where they belong. They're drawn to Jesus. The tax collectors, the drunks, the prostitutes. All these younger sons, they're coming and they want to be near Jesus. They want to hear him. And the Pharisees, who are the religious leaders, the older sons, who they're following every law, crossing every T, dotting every I, they're wondering, as they see this happening, what do those people see in Jesus? What do they see in that guy? And Jesus, in this parable, he takes and he flips the question on its head. And he's essentially saying to the Pharisees, he's saying, when these people who are hungry to find truth, who are hungry to find and encounter the Father's love, which you're meant to be reflecting as the religious leaders, as the holders of the covenant, he's saying to the Pharisees, when they see you, what do you think they see? What do you think they see in you? They see what the younger son saw in the older son. That this is what it means to belong to Yahweh, to God the Father. It looks a lot like being a slave. This life of religious devotion in which where is joy even to be found? I've been thinking a lot the last couple months, last couple years, but especially the last couple months. Of what does holiness look like? You know that word that we talk about, you know, holiness? What does that actually look like? Like, what's it like to be around real holiness? Someone who has and is truly holy. What's that like? When you think of that in your life, who are the people in your life who you would look at and point to and say, that person is really holy? Why would you point to them? I think about that, and I don't have some, here's the answer. Instead, I think one of the things that radiates from someone who is truly holy is a deep joy. A deep and a real joy. Not some superficial, bubbly, sort of effervescent joy. If that's there, that's great. But I'm talking about something real and that's deep. Someone in which the Father's love is actually really made real in them. That when you're around them, when you're with them, you may not be able to put your finger on it, but something of the Father's love is made real in them. It's revealed in them, and it radiates through this deep, quiet, inner joy that they just exude. It's like they're living in this life, but part of them is already in another world, in heaven. What does this holiness look like? This joy to be in their presence. St. Teresa of Avila, she's a wonderful woman. She said, God save us from sour-faced saints. Isn't that great? God save us from sour-faced saints. When people encounter you, your kids, your grandkids, your friends, when they encounter you, what do they see in you? Do they encounter the Father's love made real in you? Do they encounter an experience, even if they're not able to put words to it, a joy radiating from you because that Father's love is real within you? This Sunday is Lectare Sunday. in which the church, in the midst of this season of Lent, right in the middle of it, reminds the church, rejoice. It reminds us that the whole purpose of Lent is that we're meant to increase our capacity for joy. Because the joy that we're going to receive, that we're preparing for, that we're stretching our capacity for, is the joy of Easter. And so what we do in Lent is we increase the capacity for that. And so I ask you, what do people really encounter when they encounter you? Because Jesus is asking that same question in this. He's not just speaking to the Pharisees, he's speaking to you and I. And not in this sort of finger-waving thing. People were drawn to Jesus because when they were with him, they had a true sense that they belonged with him. That the sinner had this sense of, I belong with this man. And that exudes joy. And if we don't experience that, it's no reason to beat yourself up, but instead to remember this parable is about the Father. It's about the Father who goes out to meet his two sons where they're at. He goes out and he invites the younger son into his joy, into this celebration. And he goes out to meet the older son, us, and he invites him as well into this joy, into this celebration. What do people see in you? I pray that they see the Father's love made real. And I pray that when they encounter you, they experience that joy of the Father radiated in your life.